So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well. So we've not done a podcast for a while. We're just in the middle of summer holidays. I think we're in July still. And our summer holidays, of course, start at the end of June because we're in Spain and the kids finish early. So we've already been to New York. We've already done Disney. I know just a couple of days ago, all the other kids were just finishing school, but we've been doing this for like two and a half weeks now. We've still got another 6 weeks to go. So there you go. So it makes it very difficult to create podcasts because I've got the wife around, I've got the little one around. But it's really cool having lots of fun, lots of pool time, lots of ice cream time, which is not doing my waistline any good. But they're all out at a pool party, so I'm like, right, I'm going to stay behind. I'm going to crack on and get some podcasts done, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. But in this podcast, I want to talk to you about the five tips that keeps myself motivated. And these tips are going to be different than all the other ones, right? They're not like your bog standard tips that you'll just see everywhere else. I like to be a little bit different. I'm sure you've noticed that. But also, I find myself sometimes in times where I'm not as motivated as I can be. Like the gym, for example, you know, we're hitting the gym hard at the moment. We're on a five-day rotation and a one-day of rest. And we're hitting heavy weights, leg days. We've got high-intensity interval training after that as well. So it's pretty intense. But some days, I don't want to go and do it either. So What do you do to keep motivated? And business-wise and money-wise, what do you keep doing to keep motivated there? How do you keep the content flowing when you really can't be bothered? So I've got five tips for you. Let's run through them. Okay, so number one, we look at what the monthly cash flow is. It doesn't matter how many leads you're getting. Doesn't matter how many conversations you have. What matters is what's your cash flow. And when I mean cash flow, there's two aspects to cash flow. The first aspect of cash flow is how much money are you making? Right? How much is coming in through the door? And you would call this revenue, right? But how much money is being generated by you or by your business? And then there's a second tier to that, which is how much money are you spending? And the third tier to that is how much are you saving, right? So you've got how much money are you bringing in? What are your costs each month? And then how much money have you got left? And the goal is the amount of money that you've got left should be increasing. So if you're doing 100 grand a month, let's say, and you increase it to 200 grand, that's great. But if you're making £10,000 a month profit and that increases to £10,000, you know, it's the same, what's the point in doing 200 grand? It makes no difference, right? So you've got to keep an eye on this bottom line. And so many people, you know, I just put a post out, a conversation I was having just now about a guy that I knew about 10 years ago, and I was saying to him, your business should be there to generate cash flow, and your cash flow goes into monthly cash flowing assets. And he said, no, that's fine. I'm okay. I don't need to do that. My business is going really well. Here we go. We had a conversation this morning. Hey, how's your business going? Oh, it went under. What? Yeah, it went under. This guy was doing 100 grand a month, right? I don't know how much he was doing. He was doing a lot, 100 grand a month, kind of, right? So I'm like, oh, do you? Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. How about your assets? Silence on the other end of the phone. And it didn't buy any assets. The whole point of your business is to generate cash flow to buy assets. And so when you're looking at your monthly cash flow, so we're on a real plan right now for what we're doing with our cash flow, because we've got some assets that we want to be purchasing, and we're on a deadline. We've got till April of next year, and we're on a deadline because we want to start purchasing the assets then. Okay, so we've got to start building up the cash flow in order to get to a position so that in April, which is, I don't know, 8 months away, that we can actually start buying those assets for cash, right? Which is exactly what we want to do. But if we can increase our revenues by our business, if we can keep our costs the same or reduce them, then we actually could end up doubling the amount of cash flow each month, which would halve the time. We wouldn't have to wait till April. We'd do it in November or December or whatever is halfway. So the cash flow. And when I talk to people, and I talk to a lot of people, okay, and I say to them, have you got a spreadsheet with your cash flow? And they go, what? I'm like, yeah, spreadsheet with all your cash flow. How much money comes in? How much money goes out? How much money you get to save? No. We don't have to do any of that. And I'm like, well, you do. If there's one thing that millionaires do that non-millionaires don't do, it's have a spreadsheet. oh, well, I've got an app for that. An app isn't going to do it. You need a top-down, top-level view. You need to be able to see and forecast. An app isn't going to do it. Richard Branson doesn't run his businesses on an app. Ooh, it drives me crazy. He has money people running spreadsheets, right? Spreadsheets is how businesses operate. You can disagree with that as much as you like. I know in 2019, oh, no. Businesses don't use spreadsheets anymore. Like, my accountant uses spreadsheets, right? Fine, they use Sage as well. But when you're doing your cash flow forecast, they don't use Sage. They use spreadsheets. How do you cash flow forecast on Sage? You want to run what-if scenarios and have a top-down view as, you know, if I change our expenses on Facebook ads from, say, let's say it's £1,000 down to £500. I want to see what impact that's going to have on my entire business. And actually, if we go from £1,000 to £5,000, what's that impact? You show me Sage doing that. But you've got to start looking at what your monthly cash flow is. This is what's going to get you motivated. I'm motivated every day because every day when I wake up, the very first thing, cup of joe, obviously got to have my coffee. Second thing, check my spreadsheet. I want to know what's come in. Check my bank accounts, what's come in, what's gone out, what's due this month, what's my monthly cash flow going to look like this month. All of that is done every single day. That's one of the big things that motivates me. And I like to see problems before I get to them. If I know there's a problem, one of the problems that we have is every January we have a problem. Because every January we have ground rents to pay. £200, £300, £400 for a ground rent. Multiply that by a lot of flats. Suddenly, you know, you've got tens of thousands of pounds to find in January, right? If I don't cash flow that, if I don't forecast it, which I didn't used to do, every January I used to have a problem because I didn't have enough cash flow to cover it. Now we put money aside, right? So I like to know what the problems are before we even get there. We're now in July. I know we'll have a problem in January. So now we're allocating funds to deal with that problem. So we hit January, not a problem. That's what your cash flow forecasting will do for you. And if you're not doing that, how can you tell what problems you're going to have? You've got to start building up a war chest. Even if you don't spend that money, you've always got it. Okay, number two. I look at my kids and I work out, what are they going to need? And I don't necessarily mean today, okay, or next week or next month or next year. I mean, what are they going to need when they're 55? If you've not got, let me rephrase that. If you've got kids and you've not got a pension for them, now's the time to open a pension. £100 a month, just get yourself started, £20 a month, whatever it takes, £200, £300. Like, trust me, you put £300 a month in for your kids, age two, from now, for the next 20 years, they'll be multimillionaires by the time they get to 55. They'll be able to draw it all down, and they'll never, whatever it is that they're going to go through in the next 55 years, they will know that they've got this pension sat there. All they've got to do is get to 55. They go through divorce, they go through separation, they go through child abduction, they go through physical trauma, sexual assault, whatever life is going to throw at your children, they will know they get to 55, they've got a pension lined up for them. And all that could come from you saving £20 a month, £50, £100, £200, £400. Like, imagine saving £400 a month for the next 10 years for your kids. Imagine the difference that would make. Huge difference. So I look at my kids, I look at what they're going to need, not just at 55. What about when they're 25? What are they going to need then? Maybe I need to start saving another £50, £100, put that into a box somewhere. Not a box, a bank account, stocks and shares, an ISA. Open a kid's ISA, it's all tax free. Just get it to track the Vanguard, the S&P 100, the FTSE 100, S&P 500, whatever. Just get them to do all that. Then we're looking at what do they need on a month-by-month basis, and I've got budgets allocated for what they need on a month-by-month basis. Okay, so you've got to start looking at that. Like, the last thing that I want is for something to happen to me and my kids not be looked after. Financially, I know what it's like to not have any money, and I don't want that for my kids. So I'm really focused on that. I don't go out buying fancy cars, nice shoes, amazing holidays. I mean, we do go on holiday, but I don't think we spend massively wildly because that money's better. You know, two and a half grand on a holiday And I'm not saying that you don't go away. You could spend $5,000 on a holiday, or you can spend $2,500. And the $2,500 that you don't spend should be going into your kids' college money or pension fund or whatever it happens to be. Okay, like I said, these are going to be different. These are not your bog standard five motivational tips, you know. Number three, you're going to love this one or you're going to absolutely hate it. Number three, keep the wife happy. Happy wife, happy life. Now, oh, that's so sexist. Oh, listen, if my wife was the main breadwinner, which she's not, and we're in agreement that she's not, she's there, she goes to school and she works in a school, and your income in school here in Spain is dreadful. It's much less than it ever was in the UK. That's for one of the sacrifices that we knew we'd have to make. And that's fine because we are a team. We are 50% equal for our family in terms of responsibility. It's not 80% down to me to bring the income in and 20% to her. That's just not how we operate. We're a team. When a team wins, we both win. When the team fails, we both fail. Right? So my job is to make sure that wifey is happy. Now, if you are the female main breadwinner, then your job is to keep the husband happy. If the husband is the stay-at-home guy, like it's 2019. Like, I know we have all these gender stuff going on right now, and you're not allowed to say boo to a goose, the goose being non-binary gender, of course. You just can't say anything anymore, and it drives me absolutely insane. But that is the world in which we're living. So whatever your partner is to you, keep them happy, right? The happier, so like through my NLP stuff, one of the biggest things that I learned about relationships was this. If you just go out of your way to keep your partner happy, okay, and they go out of their way to keep you happy, that's a really happy marriage. Whereas in most marriages, they go out of their way to get what they want. I go out of my way to get what I want. I'm worthy. I want this. Whereas actually, if you can go out of your way to get what they want, and they've got the same mindset, maybe because we've been on the same trainings and that kind of thing, or maybe listen to this podcast, I don't know. But if you can, that's what love is right there. Love and a happy marriage is about you caring about the other person more than yourself, but not so that you put yourself in a bad situation, but you think about what it is to make them happy. And you go out of your way to make that happen. Now, I'm not perfect at that by a long stretch. I don't know anybody that is. The guy that wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus is on marriage number two or three. He's the relationship guy, and he's on like the third marriage, whatever he's on. Maybe it's the second, I don't know. But keep your partner happy. When they're happy, they will inspire and motivate you. So like I'm on a weight loss thing right now. I put loads of weight. I put like 8 kilos on in 6 months. And it was all to do with stress from the kids' situation in England. And we were going through some trauma, some grief, loss of a relationship, all of that kind of thing. And it was pretty traumatic. And so I turned to food and just got fat, basically. And you're not allowed to say fat anymore because fat's offensive too. so screw it, I don't care. So I put weight on and I'm like, I'm now in the gym and I'm working out, you know, 5-day rotation, 1 day off. Great. And I've been doing it 2 whole weeks. And I'm like, oh, I'm not noticing any changes. Oh, do you know, like just a moany, whiny little bitch, you know, like I have been doing. And my wife's like, no, I can definitely see a difference. And that, just that one thing makes such a massive, oh no, it definitely, even if she's lying to me, I'm happy. It makes me happy that she's saying, no, keep going. You're doing well. Like, I can definitely notice a difference, you know. So now you're like, wow, really? Oh, I will keep going. That, just that one thing. I'm not saying that you should lie to your partner, by the way, about everything. But motivation-wise, why not? You know, it's like, as long as it's not, you know, I spent £1,000 on shoes and she hides the credit card, that's a different matter entirely. But if it's like, no, Dan, you're definitely losing weight, you should keep going with that diet and that workouts that you're doing every day. That's awesome. Keep your partner happy. Like, you keep your partner happy, they're going to keep you happy. That's number three. Number four. And I used to listen to these guys an awful lot. And I don't listen to them that much now. But every so often, I need just a burst of energy. Okay, so 20 minutes is all you need. It's the same conversation over and over again when you listen to these two podcasts I'm about to tell you. You can keep on listening, but they're just saying the same thing, slightly different way. And after a while, it's like, yeah, it's just the same thing. But if you're feeling non-motivated and non-productive in particular, then Grant Cardone and Gary Vaynerchuk, go download their podcasts. I mean, obviously, not in place of mine. You need to be listening to mine, obviously. But 20 minutes of Grant or Gary, I can't say that, Grant Cardone or Gary. And Garys are a dying species, by the way. Did you know that? Like, only 29 Garys were named, like, 2 years ago. Garys are going to die out, so Gary V needs all the help he can get. And who's called Grant anymore? Like, not many. Anyway, 20 minutes of those guys, and you just finish it, and you feel pumped, and then you just go and you do your work. It is literally the same stuff every day, but these guys got so much energy, and they say it in a different way than I might say it, and that's who I go to when I need that extra pump. Pump. Can you believe I used that word in a podcast? Okay. Next one. Last one. Remember that the more you have, the more there are people coming to take it away from you. The better you do, the more people want it. The more money you have, the tax man wants it. The more success you have, the more people try and take it away from you. Every time I'm in the gym, I recognise that there's some other fat dude who's in the gym twice as much as me. And I'm like, when I'm on that last set of bench presses and I really don't want to do them, I'm like, okay, I need to do the bench presses. Because I know there's another fat dude who's going to beat my ass if I don't do these, right? And I don't want to be that guy. It was like at the basketball court. Before I would leave for basketball court, I would always have to hit 10 shots in a row. And if I didn't do that, I'd stay until I did. And halfway through, I'd be like, oh, I'll just give up. You know, I've hit a couple. But in my mind, I knew that there was somebody else who was practicing more than me. There's always someone who's wanting to take your money away from you. And if you don't take care of that, it will happen. Okay. So, like, you know, when we talk about assets, buy cash flowing assets from your business, income, right? That's exactly what you should be doing. NBA players who earn $32 million a year and then 8 years later, they've got no money left. Like, all they had to do was buy houses at $200,000, buy five a year in 8 years. So that's 5 years, that's 10 houses, five houses, 40 houses, 200,000. You know, all paid for in cash. Let's just say it pays $1,000 a month on a $200,000 house, which is, it's going to be $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. They'd be on like $150,000 a month. But no, they didn't do that. They just went bust instead. Someone's always coming to take it away from you. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes you spend that money on handbags and cars. And I saw someone just last week because they'd made a 5K sale and went out and spent like £1,000 on a handbag. I'm like, the hell are you doing? Use your, buy assets and use your cash flow from assets to pay for the handbag. Handbags are fine if that's what you want, but you don't buy that handbag until your assets have generated enough cash for you to do that. I saw a great post yesterday and it was a picture of a McDonald's Big Mac and it was like $4.88 and it was working out how many shares you need and what the dividend was, what the yield was for dividend, and how many Big Macs you can buy using your dividends from big McDonald's shares. And I thought it was really cool until I looked at what the dividend was, and it's like 2.5% a year, which is dreadful as a yield. Like AT&T, you're getting 7%. We've got some AT&T stock. You're getting 7% yield. So, like, if you've got, like, think about this. If you've got, I don't know, O2 as your mobile phone operator and it's costing you 50 quid a month, £600 a year. How many shares do you need in Vodafone or O2 to cover that £60 a month? You get paid dividends quarterly, so it's £180. Like, I don't know, but you should go find out what that information is. There's always someone coming to take it away from you. So if you've got a really good business right now, you should be buying assets. Like the NBA players who didn't and go bust, you should be buying assets. You should, if you're not got a business that's generally in a lot of cost, what the hell are you doing going out and having drinks and meals out? What the hell are you doing? All that money should be going into cash flowing assets. It starts off really small, but over a period of time, 10, 20 years, it's massive. You never have to work ever, ever, ever again. So it's totally worth doing. But in the back of my mind, like as I'm sat recording this, I know someone's thinking about how to take my money. Like I love Grant Cardone's, who's got my money. I'm like, who's coming for my money? People are coming for your money. Right now, it is the tax man with changes to Section 24, and we're putting stuff in place to handle that. Paying stuff down, generating more cash flow, all of that kind of thing. Different asset classes in different countries. heck, we ain't investing in the UK anymore, not in property. We're going to start buying stuff here in Spain. 14 grand down, 200 euros a month. Can't go wrong. Like, the yield on that is crazy. It's like a 20% yield. So those are my top five tips to keep you motivated. And like I said, these are going to be different. I don't want them to be your normal bog standard tips that you just get from anywhere. That's not what we're about. But anyway, look, I hope that's useful for you. We'll listen to you in the next podcast. My name's Dan Latto. Have a great day. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.